Thanks for that. So we're talking about living a life of rest here in this next month. And when I was preparing this about work and balance and rest, I got kind of personally convicted. And so just right out of the gate here, this is one of those sermons that you need to listen to what I say, not follow what I do, because I'm not exactly good at this. In fact, I looked over all my sermons. I keep files of everything that I've preached over the 25 years I've been a lead pastor, 31 years in ministry. So let's just round it out, about 1,100 sermons or so that I've preached. And guess how many on rest did I preach on? How many sermons did I preach on rest? Just once. So I have a problem. And so if you could pray for me that I would address this problem and help you guys live a more balanced life, then perhaps I have. But I realize that the world's crazy. It's just busy. Some of us work too much. Others of us are so busy with kids and sports and all those kinds of things. It's just difficult to breathe sometimes and to find that sense of peace that we need to have energy to move forward. So this series is designed to help us focus on work and rest and those kinds of things. I asked the question today, how can we focus on rest in such a busy and demanding world? I have a guy from France that I know. I've lost contact with him, but his name was Emmanuel, and he used to tease me and said, hey, you Americans have a lot of problems. And I'd say, oh yeah, like you French have it all together or whatever, but we laugh about stuff. And he'd say, look, here's the deal. We French, we work hard so we can live. And he says, you Americans, you live to work, and that's a problem. And I agree with him. He has some wisdom for us in that role. Before I jump in, just let me pray one more time. Father, we're grateful for your word. Teach us now what it means to rest and to work and about balance and those kinds of things, and we'll praise you for what you're going to do. Again, Holy Spirit, speak. In Jesus, we love you. Amen. Amen. So how can we focus on rest? The first thing I want to do is this issue of focus. I want us to focus on Scripture. The foundational issue in almost any area, not just rest, but as we live our life, is we need to listen to what the Bible says to us about these kinds of things, because God has given us this objective, authoritative standard to learn principles, if not specifically about a certain thing, but principles that will cross over into areas like rest and worship and prayer and all those kinds of things. So just to start this off, and again, I talk about the Bible a lot because it's just so important in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, let me just remind you of this as we read this section. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the Scriptures teach us about the fact that we're sinful and separated from God, and that Jesus Christ is the way that we have salvation and forgiveness. We receive him by grace. We place our faith and trust in him. He rose from the dead to prove that he's God, can forgive us of sin. All those great wise things that show us what salvation and forgiveness is about are from Scripture, but so is everything else founded in Scripture. Verse 16, all Scripture, all that we read, is God-breathed. It's driven by his Holy Spirit, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, so that we can live a life equipped to help others and encourage others to know Christ and to find strength in him in all areas of life, not just in rest and those kinds of things. How do you know how to raise your kids? The answers a lot are in Scripture. How do you know how to give and be a good steward of the resources that God's give you? The answers are in Scripture. Rest is in here as well, so we need to focus on it. The first focus point is this. You need to make your own opportunities to rest. You need to make your own opportunities. The world and your workplace will not make opportunities for you. You need to take control of your life and use your brain and the power of God's Spirit to make decisions in your life that will help you find energy and rest. Francis Bacon, a wise man, once said, "If you are a wise man, you will make more opportunities than you find." So waiting around passively, hoping that you're going to get some rest, isn't really the way that this works. You must make your own opportunities. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian church in verse 15, he says, "Be very careful then how you live your life, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." It's almost like the days there has personality and being. A day in and of itself is a fairly innate thing. It can be good or evil, depending upon how you use it. But his point is the day and the clock always runs by so quickly. The world is always throwing so many things at you. You know, work hard, watch this television show, do this thing, pursue this recreational sport, whatever it might be. Again, not evil things necessarily, but it just fills your life with such chaos and busyness that you live in survival mode rather than taking charge of your life and making decisions that might help you find rest and stop the struggle of being tired all the time. You need to take advantage of things that you do, and you need to own your life and realize that you have more power than perhaps you give yourself credit for. One of the things that was always interesting in raising my kids was I felt like they were always, sometimes they were looking for an excuse to blame the church or blame me or whatever it might be for some of the hard things in their life. And we do that in life. We blame our boss, we blame our work, we blame our energy level, we blame our health. If I could just be healthy, I could get some rest, and maybe I'd have energy to exercise. It's all this sort of excuse kind of thing. And what I'm saying here is God has given you his Spirit, so use God's Holy Spirit to help you have courage to change things and to make your own opportunities to rest. I did some reading this week, and you might find this interesting. 11 hours out of a 24-hour day for the average American, 11 hours of that 24 hours is spent connected to some sort of media, on average, okay? Television, phone, Netflix, computer, those kinds of things. So almost everything that we do is spent connected to some sort of media. 4 hours a day, on average, we watch television, okay? What's interesting, though, if you look at millennials and you look at people over the age of 65, age of 65, you watch more like 7 hours of television a day. And the millennials watch 2 hours of television a day, but they more than make up for it for 3 or 4 extra hours on social media and those kinds of things. So it sort of evens out as we go. What I'm saying is you have the ability to alter some of the way that you spend your time, even if it's just little portions of time. Statistically speaking, in this day in America, people don't read very much. Okay, so I don't know if you would qualify yourself as a reader. I mean, we have to read and do things on the computer for our job and that kind of stuff. But how many minutes a day do you think the average American spends reading for pleasure? This includes Bible reading, fiction reading, magazines, all that kind of stuff. Reading for pleasure. It's 16 minutes a day. 16 minutes a day. Now, you can't tell me that you don't have the ability to grab more than 16 minutes a day to get some rest or to breathe a little bit in your life. I mean, I'm just being honest with you because I love you. I know I'm terrible at this. I'm the last person that should probably be talking about this, but it's been convicting reading and writing about these things. I want to do better. I want to be a better model for you, and you can model for each other. We can find that time if we want to do it. It's a matter of desire. It's a matter of understanding how your body works. God designed us to live with a rhythm of life, and we can't just work all the time and expect to feel good and to have health and those kinds of things. So I'm asking you to consider making your own opportunities to rest. This next little section I want to spend a little bit of time in, I'm asking you to create margin in your life. So you can define this different ways, but what I think about margin, I think about the space between different activities so that I can live and breathe and function throughout my given day. Sometimes we just work nonstop or we play nonstop, and we don't put these little moments that can really be revolutionary in changing our lives. Mark 6, verse 30, says the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that day, they did not even have a chance to eat. I have a bad habit of skipping meals. I don't know if you guys have that. You know, like I'll eat something small in the morning, I'll skip lunch and work through lunch, and then I'll come home and I'll eat the house down practically. It's really not good for your metabolism, but I pray about it. I feel okay about it. So anyway, didn't have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. All right? So Jesus, God himself, living in human flesh, full humanity, full God, full divinity, recognizes that his disciples have been having a hard time lately. John the Baptist had been beheaded before this. The great leader of the faith and precursor of Jesus had just lost his life. Thousands and thousands of people are surrounding him wanting teaching and shepherding and care. A bunch of people are wanting the opportunity to be fed. There wasn't any food, so they took responsibility and miraculously fed them. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus says, look, I really need you guys to create some margin in your life. You need to create some moments where you get away to a secluded place. The word there is a place with no noise, without things that distract you. I don't know when's the last time you've been to a place that doesn't have noise, or been to it for a little time, but just no noise, no distractions, no work, those kinds of things. And I need you to rest. That means cease from striving, cease from your labor, cease from just constantly running on the treadmill of life with kids and everything else. I'm not saying these things are easy, okay? But I'm confessing to you that I want to get better at this, because here's the deal about your life. I look at your life as a syringe, okay? A syringe with a lot of energy in it. So the energy is the liquid in the syringe. And so you rest and you sleep and you start each day with a full sort of shot thingy, a syringe, right? And you go throughout your day and you slowly push the syringe down and you release your energy and your ability to live and do those kinds of things. And if you're not careful, men, sometimes what we do is we push the syringe all the way down at work and we get home and we don't have anything left, okay? We're actually physically at home, but mentally and energy-wise, we're not there because we've used all our energy. You need to save and conserve some of that energy, and moments of margin can help you do that. Now, here's the funny thing that happens when you get older, okay? When I was young, I had a giant syringe full of lots of energy, and it only took a few minutes, like an hour of sleep, to fill it up, and I was ready to go for another 85-hour week or whatever. You know, I just was like that. Guess what? I'm older. My syringe is smaller. My energy goes faster, and it takes way longer to fill it up than it used to. It just does. It just takes more time and, more energy. I raised three kids, but now when I'm around my three grandkids, I don't have as much energy. And I love them, but they suck the life out of my syringe sometimes. And I need some moments to replenish myself. Not to mention them. Can you imagine them? This December, we'll have four grandkids under the age of five. It's so awesome. But it's absolutely insane at the same time. When do they get margin? When do they get rest? They have to work harder at it than I do at my phase of life. But hopefully they have a little bit more to give, but it's just this principle of margin. So it's creating space where you get alone with Jesus and you just talk to him, you pray, you think about things, you listen to music and those kinds of things. Here's three ways that I create margin in my life that help me. Okay, first is I try to put time in between appointments that I have with people. Okay? I used to be back-to-back appointment taker, you know, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I'd get a lot done. But after a while, I was finding that I was having trouble switching gears to the next appointment. You know, someone would come in and they'd have a problem with their kids, and so I put on my kids counselor hat, and someone would come in and they had a problem with their marriage. So then I put on my marriage counselor hat. Someone would come in and say, I feel called to the ministry. So I put on my pastor hat and get them called and help them with ministry opportunities. After a while, I would have to remind myself who I was talking to in the appointment because I was switching roles so often and what was their particular problem. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm falling asleep in this appointment. You know, I really do care about your marriage, but I'm a little tired or whatever. I mean, so it was a really bad experience. So what do I do? I create these moments in between appointments where I can pray. I can ask God to fill me with energy. I can say, what can I do to help this person? Here's what they're coming in. I think this is what they're going to talk about. So I have energy. I put at least 15 minutes in between appointments so I can breathe. Okay? Maybe you can do something like that at your work. I know a lot of our jobs are demanding. They're just nonstop and those kinds of things. But maybe there's a moment or a period of time around lunch or something where you can build in a little margin where you could just sort of rest and breathe and get away from people. When I travel, travel for me, and when I drive around and stuff, it's not a time of anxiety for me because I use that for margin. I listen to a song, I pray, I listen to a podcast, I listen to a message of some kind. If I missed out on the sports scores, I didn't watch the game the night before, I listen to a sports show. Anyway, I just sort of check out a little bit while I'm driving, and I ask God to replenish my heart. I used to do this, and my wife loved me in spite of doing this, but periodically, when we were so busy with kids and church and everything, I would take the long way home from work, and I wasn't doing that to punish her, but it kind of did, and she forgave me, you know, because she was ready for, like, here's the kids, go. But I needed a little bit of time so that I could jump in, rather than just going from thing to thing to thing to thing and trying to muster up the energy on myself. She was very gracious to help me with that. So I do that when I travel. Maybe you can get some margin when you're driving, you're stuck in traffic. Maybe there's something you can do to refresh your soul. Bottom line, you're just looking for these times when you can recharge a little bit. One of the things that helps me recharge when I'm spending a lot of time with people is I get out and I walk around the parking lot. I mean, I need exercise anyway, and it's not much exercise, but it makes me, by doing that, I tell the doctor I'm exercising. It makes me feel better anyway. But I love being outside. I love looking at the leaves. I love just taking a moment where I'm not talking or someone's not talking to me. And I can hear him. I can hear his voice better. So Jesus wanted his apostles to have margin and create that space and time. I know it's difficult to do, but at least you can think about it and you can try. What are those sections of life where I can actually rest and grow in? Because here's what I don't want to have happen to you. The average lifespan in America is 80 years or so. I don't want you to be 80 years old and regret how you have spent your time. You're tired, your health is terrible, your kids don't appreciate you, or you don't, your relationships aren't really good, whatever it might be, grandkids. But time is going to go by whether you like it or not, and one day, if God allows, you'll be 80 years old. The average 80-year-old, according to statistics, sleeps 33 years out of the 80. 33 years you spend sleeping or trying to get to sleep. You know, they kind of lump them together. You spend 14 years working, okay? You spend 10 years in front of some sort of media, movie, TV, phone, those kinds of things. You spend 5 years eating out of 80 years. That's way too low. I don't know how people can live that way. I love foods, right? But at least 5 years. Here's what really gets the shortchange. 1 year out of 80 is spent dating or romancing your significant other. 1 year out of 80 years is spent in romantic activity. We always say that we love people, but our actions don't always show it, right? 1 year out of 80. I just don't want you to have regret. I want you to realize that maybe you can't change this crazy job that you're in, or, you know, maybe you want to retire, but you can't, or whatever it is. You can create moments of space that can fill you with enough energy to give you hope and joy in the future, all right? Create margin. The last little idea is to consider this. Let prayer be your guide for how you spend your time, not the clock. Okay, the clock governs our world. It just does, and it's a good thing. If I don't know what time it is in the middle of the night, it drives me nuts. You know, like if the power goes out or something like that, I gotta know what time it is, or I can't function. So I'm obsessed a little bit with time on the clock. But the ancient Israelites, and when this text was written, they didn't really run by the clock necessarily. They ran their time by hours of prayer, okay? So they prayed at regular times so that they could recenter themselves spiritually and re-emphasize how important God is. So like at 6 and at 9 and at 12 and at 3 and at 6 and at 9 and at 12, and even the watches during the night, some people would take time to pray. How do you have that desire to pray? I really believe Matthew 5:6 kind of spells out anything related to what you want to do. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled with righteousness." If you have a desire to know God, and if you have a desire to have your life controlled by something else than the clock, I think he will help you. I think he will guide you in that way if you want this to be a part of your life. So how does this work for me? Typically, I pray before I get out of bed, 5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere around in there. And then I try to use technology in my favor, and I'll set a reminder on my phone or something. But either at 9 or at noon, I have a little bell that goes off, and I want to create a few minutes of margin and pray, say the Lord's Prayer. I use a lot of times material written by this lady. I feel so bad because I make fun of her name. She's probably like a saint, and I feel guilty. But her name is Phyllis Tickle. It just makes me laugh for some reason, so I don't know why. But she's written this book called Divine Hours of Prayer, and she has structured prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, from the Catholic Church, from the Episcopal Church, all scripture, all really, really good things. But it's a little routine that you go through at different hours during the day to center your life on God, not on the task at hand. And so I use materials like that to help me pray, to help me recenter myself, and to try to get better at living and creating this margin, but also talking to the Lord about what's happening in my life. Typically for me, it averages out, you know, like once in the morning, once around lunchtime, and once around dinner time. I just do these moments, whether I'm driving home or whatever it might be. Structure is my friend. I don't know if you are a friend of structure, but structure is, I think, everyone's friend. If you're OCD and ADD like me, structure saves your life because it puts in your schedule things that will help you do what you want to do rather than just flipping around all the time and hoping that you get something done. It controls my work schedule. I'll structure it in. I say, I will not work between this hour and this hour, you know, unless the church is burning down, and then I'll probably not work then. I'll just pray or something. I don't know what to do, and hopefully no one's in here, but I'm teasing a little bit, but I always feel like I got to be around and I got to work in order to take care of every stuff, and I don't want to live my life that way all the time, right? I want to have margin. I want to be able to pray. I want my day to change in prayer. And so there's a psalm that kind of sums up what I pray for myself, and I pray this for you guys as well. I'm in Psalm 116. Psalm 116 says this: I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. The creator of the universe, 7 billion plus people, listens to me when I cry out to him. Because he turned his care to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous, and God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I don't manufacture rest and health because I work harder, I go to church a lot, or anything like that. The Lord is my helper. He is the source of my rest. He helps me make good decisions for me and for my family to have peace and to have joy. You're not going to be able to get a hold of your schedule, so to speak, in a balanced way unless you concentrate on God first and ask for his help and the wisdom about what to commit to, what not to commit to, those kinds of things, what needs to change in my life. And so application-wise, here's my question for you, a couple. How do I create margin in my life, and what specifically needs to change? How do I create more margin in my life, and how do I? What needs to change? Maybe your problem is the phone and social media, and so I guarantee you, and again, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I guarantee you, you could carve 15 minutes of social media and phone time off to spend a little bit of time sometime during your day. You know, maybe you're like me, where you have appointments and things like that, schedule your meetings, and you have the freedom to do that with a little bit of space. Maybe your life is absolutely insane, and if you're a mom with young kids, or if you're a public school teacher, private school teacher, margin is really difficult for you guys, okay? So brainstorm and ask for help and try to get those moments when you can. Get up a little bit earlier. Maybe instead of watching 4 hours on average of a TV a night, maybe watch three. I don't know what your vice is. I don't know what the thing is that sort of drives you. Maybe it's playing games, you know, something like that. There is time to be had to focus on God and to rest if you're willing to do that, and then help each other. I mentioned my grandkids, and I love my grandkids. When Julie, my wife, spends time with the grandkids a period of time, she's a little tired afterwards, you know, and it's just, Can't imagine how my daughter and son-in-law do it. I pray for them all the time. Hopefully their youth gives them more energy than what grandparents have right now. But she needs some rest. And so we make a deal. And it's very uncomfortable for me because when Julie comes home, I want to hug her. I want to know what's going on. I want to ask her questions and those kinds of things. But for at least 15 minutes to a half an hour, I am not allowed to speak when Julie comes home from watching the grandkids. She can't stand the noise anymore. And I know she loves me, but she can't stand the input. I mean, practically we get talked to death by, you know, one of our grandkids especially, and I love them, but it's like, man, I think my head's going to explode if you don't just stop talking for a moment, you know, or something. So it's you need that rest. So I help her out with her margin. I don't speak at all for a half hour until she gives me the signal that it's okay, and things go a lot better that way. She's in a better mood, and it's all good, right? Maybe you, as a husband, could come home a half an hour early and give your wife some margin. You take the kids and let her breathe for a few minutes or something. I mean, there's things that you can do together that will really help you guys achieve more rest and balance. What needs to change? And the last little idea, the question here is, what would be a good time for you to pray during the day? Sort of this rhythm of prayer. I don't know your job, I don't know your life, but is there a way to factor in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes here and there of prayer where you could just sort of ask for God's help and recenter yourself in the midst of working such a busy schedule and living such a busy life, and say, hey, God, you know, I praise you. I say the Lord's Prayer quite a bit, so I say the Lord's Prayer for him to recenter my heart and help me focus, whatever it might be, whatever works for you. I want to make sure that you guys think about these kinds of things. Because you can't get time back, and I really, really, really don't want you to look back on your life and you ask yourself the question, only if I would have been more intentional and created more margin, what could I have done? How would my health have been? How close to the Lord could I be? And again, I'm saying this as a fellow journeyer and not very good at this stuff. I'm a much better worker than I am a rester, but I'm trying to change some of those things, and I hope you might want to as well. All right? Let me pray for you and pray for me. Father, thank you for your love and mercy that we certainly don't deserve. Thanks for being patient with us as we struggle with our lives. Father, we want to be energized. We want to have joy. We want to be able to rest and soak up all the good things that are around us, not just be in survival mode and hope we get through a day to get up and run the same day again and again. Father, you have given us the ability, given us a sound mind through your Holy Spirit to make good decisions, and I pray that you'd help us do that. I pray that you'd show us where time can be captured and changes can be made so that we can hear your voice more clearly. I pray for margin. None of us can work nonstop. I don't care how young you are. It'll eventually catch up to you. Give us the ability to help each other out in terms of friendships, brothers and sisters, spouses, partners. And Father, may we just grow in our understanding of this issue. May we not be sucked in by the rampant, nonstop activity of the world. And maybe live a little bit more simply. Find a little bit more quiet. And may you speak and help us overcome the fears and anxieties that we face every day. I don't know, I think about things like how we're going to retire, how are my kids going to be happy in life, and will they get a good job, and marry somebody nice and that loves you, Lord. There's all kinds of things that drive my fears, but I know that also kind of sucks energy out of my life too, so help me to lay those down. Help us all just trust you with things, especially things that we can't control. May we be humble in your presence, and may your voice sing clearly over us and give us peace and give us rest. In Jesus' name, amen.